Our text this morning is Ephesians chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 11 of Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, who were formerly afar off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, over the next few minutes, would you help us to guide our minds and our hearts, that we would submit to the work of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, guide us into all truth. Perform your work of illumination, of insight into the Word of God. And Father, we're not here to hear men's opinion, but we're here to look at your word, to see what it says, and how we can apply it to our lives. So would you help us to do that this hour? Would you build us up, bring conviction? And if there's one here that does not know Christ as Savior, may today be that day of salvation. For we pray it in thy name. Amen. A while back, I was listening to a radio program, a talk radio, and there was a man who had called in who was of Jewish descent. And he was either on the golf course or had been on the golf course. And he was reflecting how here he was in the United States of America, freedom, and playing golf. Now, some of you thought, that'd be pretty cool. I don't play golf. But for those of you who do, you know, all right. But he got to thinking, were it not for the men and women of the armed forces of the United States of America, and were it not for this country, he could have ended up in a death camp. And when he looked back on what things could have been, he had a great appreciation for the way things are right now. Our text this morning begins and is a section of Scripture that's negative. But it's negative with a purpose. Because unless you look back and unless you consider the way things could have been or the way things really are, you will not have an appreciation for what you have in Christ. Because so often when it comes to our Christian faith, we forget of how things really could have been or could be. And it's almost like we say, well, here we are in the United States of America. We have freedom. I've been a Christian. I grew up in a Christian home, blah, 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 et cetera, whatever it might be. And so there might be a generic sense of appreciation for that, and not to minimize those appreciations. But folks, we need to understand our standing before God as the way things were so that we could have an appreciation for what we have. And so our text and our title this morning, folks, I want you to remember what you were before God. I want you to remember what you were as you consider these things. Now, I don't know about you, but every time if I go to the store, I have to have a list. If I don't have the list, I will inevitably forget something. And you know what's great about the list? Is because if your wife sends you and she doesn't give you one and you don't get something, you can just say, wasn't on the list. Didn't give me a list. So that part, you know, pretty cool. I went to the store. I have to put in some switches and run some wiring. And so I had the wiring down. I had to remodel boxes, you know, the switches, the ganks. And then I said, you know what? I forgot the staples to nail the wire, to hold the wire in place. I know I'm running low on those. And I... So anyway, wasn't on the list. You want to remember things. And so we want to make a list this morning, our outline. We want to remember things. So consider this, please. Remember what you were, because that's what God tells us to do in this text. What's the first couple words in verse 11? What are you to do? Therefore what? Remember. God's saying, remember. Remember these things. Remember, call to mind. Be careful not to forget. In the Greek, it's not a suggestion. It's an imperative. God wants you to remember something. And the list here is very negative, but it's negative in order that we recount the positive. And so this morning, as you reflect on this text, as the list begins to negative, and while the picture may be dark, we're not going to stop there. We're not going to end there. You got to come back next week. But understand this, please. May your attitude be one of appreciation and humility before God as you go from this place in response to the message this morning. First of all, remember what you were spiritually by your humanity. Remember what you were spiritually by your humanity. By your humanity. Well, what is that? First of all, folks, you are a heathen as a descendant. You are a heathen as a descendant. Therefore, remember that formerly you, what is the word? You, what are you? If you're not a Jew, you are a Gentile. A Gentile, the multitude of people, the race, a nation of people. You're a Gentile. What is your ethnic origin before God? A Gentile is used in contrast to the Jewish people in the Greek. Your ethnic origin, as opposed to the Jewish people, God's chosen people. And when God chose Israel, there were the contrast of the other people were the other nations as opposed to the Jews. So in contrast to the Jewish people, anybody who's not a Jew is a Gentile. God had chosen them in the book of the Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, dried up from before us until we were gone over. Here, why did God do all those things? Here was the nation of Israel. Why did God, you know, have Israel cross the Red Sea, dried up the Jordan River? That all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Understand this, please, that there were the Gentile nations and the Jewish people. God had chosen the Jewish people, and the Jewish people were like a giant megaphone to the world. And as God chose the Jewish people, and as He performed those wonderful miracles, it was to tell the world that indeed there is a God. And that's why those things were dried, why the Red Sea was dried up. And so you can say, well, what if you weren't a Jewish person? Was there any hope for you? Well, you have to remember. Remember Rahab? What happened? We talked about this back at Christmas time in Joshua. In Joshua chapter 4, it recounts the story of Rahab and her conversion. In Joshua chapter 4, they went across on the dry ground, and then you had this. The Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until the Red Sea, just as the Lord God had done to the Red Sea, that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you might fear the Lord of God forever. So as they crossed the Jordan River, you had Rahab then who recounted that story and remember that. She hid the spies and then she converted to converted to the Jewish people. The city shall be under a ban. Rahab and all the harlot and all our house will live because she hid the messengers whom she had sent in verse 17. And then you go back to Matthew chapter 1. She's in the line of Christ. And you go back to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And she's mentioned there as a woman of great faith. So that doesn't mean just because you weren't a Jewish person that you were without hope. No, there was a possibility for you to come to Christ if you would believe. But remember this, that there were the Jews who were God's chosen people, and then there were the Gentiles. So as we look at this text this morning, remember, first of all, what class? We don't like to hear that as much, being an American, but understand this spiritually. You're either a Jew or a Gentile. A Jew or a Gentile. Israel was God's megaphone to the world so that all the world might know. Not only are you heathen as a descendant, but you're a heathen by designation. Look at our text. A heathen by designation. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, were called the what? Uncircumcision. And you go, well, what does that mean? Well, there were the uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. This is specifically talking about the physical rite as opposed to the spiritual rite. So what you might say, what is this about? Well, circumcision was a sign of a covenant between God and Abraham. Between God and Abraham. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be what? To be a God to you. To be a God to you. And to your descendants after you. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 11. You shall be circumcised in the flesh, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. The text says that this was a sign, a token, a mark, or a proof. If you're married this morning, hopefully you have a little band that is on your ring finger. This is a pledge. This is a what? A token. A sign of a what? Marriage or a covenant, a relationship. A mark, a token, a sign, an agreement. Sometimes people put rings or tokens on these things as a sign of chastity or whatever, but there's a token. There's a pledge that is marked by this ring. When you get married, you say, what pledge, what token do you give as a sign of this covenant that you're going to enter into as a husband and as a wife? It's a mark or a proof. And so God instituted a physical mark of or proof that these were His people and they belonged to Him as in a covenant relationship. And what this indicates that it was a work of grace, as defined by the Bible dictionary, a work of grace whereby God chooses out and marks men for His own. They're His people. So there were, as we began our text, we have, well, they're the Gentiles. Then we have this mark of this relationship, the circumcision, part of God's people as a sign or a token of a covenant. As a covenant. Recently we had a bunch of rain, but what happens when you have rain and there's sunshine and you're looking at the right direction and what do you see through the rain? You have a rainbow. And a rainbow is a sign of God's covenant that He said, I will never, ever, 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 ever destroy the world through flood. Now sometimes when you're in the midst of days and days and days of rain, you might think it's about to be destroyed by a flood. But God said there will never be a worldwide flood again. A sign, a covenant, a mark, an agreement. Understand this, please, that even though they had that covenant, there is a warning with that covenant. Even though that they were God's people, in your mind, God said, that's just a token, but understand this, I really want your heart. I really want your heart. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 6, he said, the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to what? Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. In the book of Romans chapter 2 and verse 28, it says, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is the circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. Circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from me, but from men. It's simply this. Even though that you have a mark of a pledge, you're really after the heart relationship. It's the same thing in a marriage. Even though you might have a token or a pledge of that marriage, it really wouldn't be fun or it really wouldn't be a good one if there wasn't a heart relationship, would there be? Would it be? No, it wouldn't. Even though you have a token and even though that you have a sign, you still want the heart. And God says, even though you're my people, I still want your heart. Love me. Love me. But as it recounts to those who are Gentiles, God says, remember that formerly you were Gentiles. You weren't even Jewish in the flesh. So spiritually, your humanity has a mark against you. You weren't circumcised. There was no agreement or covenant relationship. I have no covenant relationship with God whatsoever. Again, I have a mark against me. So spiritually, my humanity automatically dictates my deficiency before God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners. But as Gentiles, we seem to even get further and further away. This underscores again that salvation is all of the grace of God, and I cannot work for it and I cannot earn it. It is all by God's grace. It is all by God's grace. So remember what you were spiritually by your humanity. So my Gentile origin gives indication that I am spiritually deficient. Now remember, not only the fact that you're spiritually deficient in your humanity, remember what you were spiritually by your heritage. Remember what you were spiritually by your heritage. Remember, Gentiles, that you were at one time, what is the next phrase? Run time, verse 12. Remember that you were at one time what? Separate from Christ. Now what's the word is Christ there? Specifically calling our attention to the fact that we have no connection whatsoever, separate, apart from, we're separated. There is no connection separate from Christ. What is that? Christ is the Messiah, the Anointed One, God's promised one. Romans chapter 9 verses 4 through 5 says, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the temple service, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and from whom is the what? Christ, according to the flesh, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Now what's this? No connection separate apart from Christ. I grew up in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia. All my family is back there. My brother's back there, and he is a huge hockey fan. Any hockey fans? Any hockey fans? Okay, we got a few here. All right. Oh, back there. Oh, I see that hand back there. Yeah. So back when we were living, when I was, you know, still a teenager, back when I was as opposed to dead. Back when I was living in Pennsylvania. Finish the sentences. I was living in Pennsylvania, and you couldn't get, when the Flyers were hot, you couldn't get tickets. You just couldn't. And forget season tickets. Well, somebody said, I have some tickets, to my brother Dean. He said, Dean, you want to go? And I was like, yes. And so then he called me and said, "Dave, you want to go?" And I said, "Yeah, let's go." I'll never forget that game. Bobby Clark had a hat trick. So anytime anybody gets a hat trick in hockey, that's cool, right? Somebody gets a hat trick. Bobby Clark had a hat trick. Scored 3 goals in a game. It's called a hat trick. Thank you. Thank you for the title. And since the score is not high in hockey, to score 3 goals in the game is good. All right. Then, so Bobby Clark had a hat trick. There was a bench brawl. This was a bench. I mean, everybody came out, and the goalies came out and met in center ice and were duking it out. I'll never forget that game. But how did I get there? My brother had some tickets. Knew somebody. Somebody says, "Hey, I have a connection. I have some tickets here. You want to go?" Because he knew somebody who had some tickets. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been any connection. Totally separate from. When we, as a Gentile, are separate from Christ or Messiah, there is no hope for us as a Savior who would come for the world as a Gentile. Mark, we do not have hope in a Messiah as a Gentile. We're not looking for the Messiah. A Gentile is not concerned about Old Testament law as a Jew might be. So already our heritage as a Gentile says, you're not concerned about Old Testament law and the hope of a Messiah who might come, marked by your descendants and your spiritual heritage. You are separate from Christ. Remember that you were at one time separate from Christ. Spiritually, your heritage says that you have no connection. Not only that, it says that you are excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. Well, what does that mean, to be excluded from the commonwealth? It means that you have no citizenship. No citizenship. Excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. No citizenship. Excluded, to be alienated from. The NIV says citizenship. The New American Standard says a commonwealth. Commonwealth or citizenship. Now you're going to be so glad as we talk about this term in just a minute. Commonwealth, the rights of citizenship. It is a term that goes back to the 1600s when England was not ruled by a king, and it emphasizes the rights of the people. The rights of the people. So here you go. Do you realize that there are 4 states in the United States of America that have the term commonwealth associated with them to emphasize the rights of the people? Anybody know the 4? Do you know the 4 states? I know them because, aha, do you know? Oh, no, don't, who knows? Who knows some of them? Anybody know? Virginia? Massachusetts? Very good. Pennsylvania? Oh, you guys are good. And there's one more. No. Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Virginia, but it has to do with the East Coast. Nope, begins with a K. Kentucky. Okay, very good. You're so glad you came to church today, aren't you? You know? But at the Commonwealth, when that was formed, it emphasized the rights of the people and rule of the people. And there are 4 states that bear that title technically. So to become, in the Old Testament, a believer, you had to become part of Israel and the people and be a citizen. Can you remember any people when they converted became citizens of Israel in the Old Testament? We already mentioned one. We already mentioned the one, but who else? Ruth. Remember Ruth? Ruth became a citizen. Remember, go back to your Sunday school days, and there was a guy that had leprosy. Naaman, okay. Naaman, very good. He was a Gentile. He had leprosy and was healed and converted to Israel, became a citizen. All right. And who else? This wasn't the Old Testament, but remember Christ and the Samaritan woman? John chapter 4. John chapter 4. When she became to Christ. John chapter 4 and verse 22. Your worship, she said, that which you do not know, but we worship which we know. For salvation, she said, is from the Jews. Yeah. To convert to the country. So to become a Jewish citizen represented religious conversion. Religious conversion. As a Gentile, we are now placing an outline and we're saying, oh my word, I don't have any citizenship. I don't have any connection. My humanity already marks the fact that I'm spiritually deficient. So not only that, you are what? Strangers to the covenant of promise. So now I have no covenant. Now I have no covenant. Strangers to the covenant of promise. The NIV says a foreigner instead of a stranger. A foreigner, that one who is isolated from culture and language, no relationship. Last night, Home Alone 2 was on. You know, so it's cute, all that stuff. You know, you're thinking, yeah, right, in 5 minutes, you know, that night he you know, came up with all those booby traps to get all those guys, you know. But anyway, so as the film begins, he boards the plane, and there the family, for those who don't know, he gets separated from his family. The family goes to Miami. Unbeknownst to him, he gets on the wrong plane and ends up in New York. So he sits down in that plane and he says to the guy next to him, like, have you ever been to Miami before? And then you think, oh yeah, somebody's going to say, well, son, you are on the wrong plane. You know, this is going to New York. But so he says to the guy, have you ever been to Miami before? And the person turns to them and then goes off on five sentences in a foreign language. You know, didn't understand, you know, what English. So to highlight the fact that there he was and he had no clue that he was on the wrong plane. When you don't know a language, there's no communication. There's isolation. You're just totally separate. You're a foreigner, isolated from the culture, isolated from the language. There is no relationship whatsoever. And so you are a stranger, a foreigner, isolated from the what? Covenant of promise. A covenant of promise. Covenant, again, emphasizes relationship. It emphasizes relationship. And you go back again to the Old Testament to understand the agreements that God had made with Abraham. And we said before, in Genesis chapter 17, earlier, Genesis chapter 17, we recounted these with you in your hearing before about the covenant that God had made. Abraham was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me. Be blameless. And I will establish my covenant between me and you. And I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him. And said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of the multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I will make you a father of the multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. A covenant of relationship. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 17 and 18, it still states once again, Genesis chapter 22, it says 2 there, Genesis 22, 17 and 18, your seed, and in your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you obeyed my voice. Well, how about, do you remember the Old Testament and Moses? Again, another covenant in Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. You know the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. all those commands, thou shalt not lie, honor thy father and thy mother, those are based upon a covenant. Those are based upon a covenant. Exodus chapter 24, he said to Moses, come up to the Lord. You and Arab, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel, you shall worship at a distance. Moses alone, however, shall come near to the Lord, and they shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him. Then Moses came, recounted to the people. All the people answered with one voice. What did the people say? All the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do. A covenant is a relationship. God had instituted His law. The people heard the law. They then responded, said, Lord, what you said, we will do. Then Moses wrote down all the words of the law, and he rose early in the morning, built an altar at the foot of the mountain of the 12 pillars for the 12 tribes. He sent young men of the sons of Israel, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in the basins, and the other half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant, a book of relationship, a book of the law, a book of the covenant, and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said again, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do and will be obedient. So Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people. The Lord has made with you, behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. There was a covenant of relationship. As a Gentile, your background, there's no covenant. You have no relationship. Nothing has been established between you and God, as it says in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Remember, you were Gentiles. Remember that you're the uncircumcision. Remember that you're separate from Christ, the Messiah, the one who was to bring hope, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise. And you're thinking, can it get any worse? Having no hope and without God in the world. Having no hope and without God in the world. As a Gentile, there is no cause. There is no cause. Hope is a future expectation. Folks, to live without hope, that's a life of despair. No future expectation. A Gentile, no hope of heaven, absolutely empty. Oh, this is not a very fun sermon. Come to church, I'll be sure to encourage you. But you can't stop there. Remember, you're remembering the darkness so that you can appreciate the sunshine. And praise God that the Apostle Paul did not stop there. Because you continue the verse, and what does it say in verse 13? But now what? In Christ Jesus. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. This description is important. What if you went to the doctor and they found cancer? And the doctor said, I really don't want to make her feel bad. I don't want to make the patient feel bad. So you know what? I'm going to just tell him, take a couple Advil and you'll be fine. You're going, don't tell me that. I need to deal with reality. I need to deal with the way things really are. Don't tell me to take a bunch of Advil when there's reality out there. And folks, when you come here this morning as a pastor, I can't tell you to take a couple little bit pills of Advil and hope you feel better without you facing your spiritual reality of what you really are before God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. That's not an encouraging thought. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Sin is a transgression of the law. If we've broken the law, we're sinners. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. So my sin, as a sinner before God, the results of my wages are death. But folks, if a person is an alcoholic, in order that there be any hope for them, they must first realize that they are what? An alcoholic. Face the reality. Spiritually, you must face the reality of what you are before you can have any hope whatsoever. For the wages of sin is death, but the what? Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no hope in doing good. There is no hope in going to church every Sunday. There is no hope in taking of communion. There is no hope in baptism. It is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for you. Him and Him alone. And our text underscores this morning that without Christ, spiritually and in my humanity, spiritually in my heritage as a person who is not Jewish, I am so far removed that I have no hope and I am without God in the world. But because of Jesus Christ and His wonderful grace of Jesus, we sang this morning, wonderful grace of Jesus, I have to go to the next page and go to the next verse. But now in Christ Jesus, when I come to Him and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever what? Believeth. When you turn and repent of your sins and trust Christ, that's when you have hope. That's when you have hope. But now in Christ Jesus, the next verse says, the believer in Christ has hope. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, the good news. Folks, even though that there was a dark picture painted by our text this morning, it underscores this truth. Salvation is all of the grace of God. It's all Him. And it's not me. It's all Him. And my challenge to you this morning would be, if you are indeed a believer, go away and recognize and have a greater appreciation for what you have than you did when you came in the doors this morning. And secondly, if you have not come to Christ, you are without hope. Lost. Lost. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, it already states, and we often read that verse, but when you read the other ones that surround it in John chapter 3, let me make sure I just get this correct. John chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, eternal life. Verse 18, he who believes in Him is not judged. But what if someone doesn't believe? What if someone has not turned to Christ and is not dependent upon Him? He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They stand condemned until you turn to Christ. As I open up the Word of God to you this morning, not a church's opinion, not men in the little back room taking a vote, but simply what the Word of God says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Him. Repent of your sin, and may your dependence of your everlasting life be upon Him, the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary, Him and Him alone, and nothing else. It is all of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy salvation so rich and free. Every head bowed and every eye closed.